Yeah. Well, today I want to address you today. As we talked about Emmanuel last week, God with us, we talked about the light of life today in Isaiah chapter 9. I want to address our own darkness Isaiah brings up here about darkness. But I want you to hear what I mean by darkness in this and how I'm talking about it. It's how the light of the gospel, which shines down from God through his Son, to bring to me to my third point. So I'm going to be talking about darkness, I'm going to be talking about light, and then I'm going to talk about life. Real simple. It will land the plane quickly. So don't, for those of you that are already telling me, get to the point, land the plane, I'll get to it. But in our passage today, Isaiah addresses people who are walking in darkness. How many of you have ever walked around in the dark and fell over something? It's the worst thing in the world. And it's your wife's shoes, obviously, and she never put them up. Or it's your husband's stuff. And then you start saying, Jack, I don't know why you leave those things there. But, you know, like, I'm going to wear them the next day, so just leave them out. And obviously, walking around in the dark is dangerous. But here, it's trying to give us a metaphor of dealing with superstitions and materialism and the people's own choice to self-rule, to use their own resources to try to get through the day, to try to get through the darkness of the day. And so when we look back in chapter 8, if you'll just turn back there with me in your Bibles, you'll see what I'm talking about. In Isaiah chapter 8, he says, "Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children of the Lord have given me your signs and portions in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living?" So these are the people that are walking through the supermarket, reading whatever books that they have there with the signs and all that stuff of trying to get you to buy their little book and read all about your horoscope and everything like that. Notice it says, you know, should they inquire on the dead on behalf of the living? They're reaching out to mediums and all kinds of things. And he's saying, should they not inquire of the Lord? Because they just chirp and mutter. Shouldn't they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, talking about the word of God, it is because they have no dawn. They have no dawn. They have no light. Man does not have light inside himself that he can look to. Man has God's word. That's the light that is shown down upon man. And then we have the testimony of the prophets. We have the life of Jesus. We have the instructions from the Bible that give us light. But without God, there is no light. There is no light. What is your mindset, though, when you are walking in darkness? What is your mindset in the sense of being in the setting of absence or scarcity or abundance? Are you looking to God? Are you reaching out to God? Are you relying on your own strength? This was something that they probed with us when we talked about this at the conference down at Disney. They talked about, do you rely on God? Or do you have the mindset of absences? It should be absence or scarcity. What we do then is to make God small to accomplish what we can do. We cannot see beyond the present. We set the bar based only on what we can do. We model a fear mindset as opposed to what God is wanting us to do, which is to have the mindset of abundance, where Jesus said, I've came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. We operate of what God can do, out of what God can do. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 that God can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or do. And the question is, when we face scarcity, when there is adversity in our lives, do we rely on God? Do we really rely on God? Do we operate from the mindset of abundance? In other words, that God will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That he's capable in the darkness of your life, in the adversity of your life. Or do we turn to our own resources? That's the question. I have to admit that sometimes when I heard this, I'm like the guy in the desert. I'll throw one up to God, but I make God small and I figure I've got to try to walk and do it on my own strength. I'd rather rely on God and know that he is strong enough. You think about the people in the desert when they were told to go out and gather food. He said, only go out and gather enough food for the day. And yet there was somebody that didn't. They tried to gather up more, and it turned to worms. It turned to those little grubs that get into your food, maggots, those awful little bugs. And how often are we like that? You know, like if we're out in the desert with God, do we rely on God? The people were walking in darkness. So this week, I would like for you to think about not only the people of peace that you run into, but I think I want you to rely on the light of Christ, the light and the life of Christ in you, that a child has been born and a son has been given. So let's go and talk about the darkness first. There's tremendous darkness. When we think about darkness, we think about there's several things that the Bible says. The devil in darkness, the domain of darkness, the deeds of darkness, and then the judgment of darkness. The Bible recognizes that there is a darkness out there. But that darkness is just not out there. It's in here. The scotia. I love that word. I love the word scotia. It describes, it's the Greek word for darkness. It's why people cannot see that Jesus was fully God and fully man, fully human. The virgin birth of Jesus, as we talked about last week when Jesus came, is not optional. But why can't people see it? Why can't they recognize it? Because they're walking in darkness. Their minds have been blinded. A friend of mine wants me to mention this to you. The Council of Chalcedon met in 451 AD. And he wanted me to tell you about this because it's one of the largest gatherings of over 500 bishops gathered from all over the place. And they talked about this very truth that Jesus Christ is fully divine, at the same time fully human. There was an argument. There was a heresy that they were dealing with. And he is both Son of God, 1 John 5:10, and the Son of Man, Mark 14:21. Jesus, the Word incarnate, assumed perfect humanity in order to save fallen humanity. He could not have been saved. He could not have saved us unless he was fully God and fully man. He couldn't die as God, but he could die as man. And in the Council of Chalcedon, Jesus Christ is to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly. There's four things. Inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, and inseparably. Say that three times quickly. Inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisible and inseparably. Without the virgin birth, there is no sinless Savior. Without the sinless Savior, there is no sacrifice. If there's no sacrifice, then there is no salvation. There is no light of day. There is no dawn, see? God had to send God to, he had to send his one and only Son to us because it was dark. It was so dark that man cannot see the light of day without God. Look what it says there in chapter 9, verse 1 of Isaiah. But there will be no gloom for her. I love that passage. There will be no gloom. For her who was in anguish in the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made a glorious way, the way of the sea. It's talking about Galilee, where Jesus is coming. Galilee of the nations, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. How dark was it? Well, it was dark enough that people would not inquire of God. It was dark enough that people would reach out to anything but God, to mediums, to necromancers, to people that talk to the dead. That's basically what that is. Generally, in our day, men and women, since they are looking into themselves and into their own resources, they find that there's no dawn present for them to see. There's only God. There's only hope in Christ. I know that we teach our children to do well in school and to become great citizens of the community. But are we teaching them this, that there is no dawn, no light of day outside of Christ? Because if we're not careful, they'll end up walking into the scarcity, times of absence, and only see God as big as their problems, only what they can do. And then they'll kind of attach God to it and kind of throw up a prayer and not put their hope truly in God. They'll put their hope in themselves. There's no dawn in ourselves without God. There's tremendous darkness. But there's a great light, and light overcomes darkness. The devil has his ways. He can burden our conscience. He can blind our minds. He can, as Warren Wiersbe says, beguile the mind of believers and even buffet the bodies of God's ministers. And that there is a true domain of darkness that has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what Christ does. He has delivered us from that domain. The light overcomes the darkness. The great light is, as Isaiah calls him, the child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The light overcomes the darkness of despair. The light brings hope. Jesus brings hope. The darkness of sin, the light of salvation. Jesus brings the light of salvation. There's the darkness of death. Jesus brings life. Light overcomes darkness. You don't use a flash dark, you use a flash light. Because light overcomes darkness. We should put on the light. Put on the armor of light. That's what Romans 13:12 says. It protects us. 1 John 1:9 says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Where do we walk when we're walking in darkness? We walk into things. We get ourselves into trouble. We walk in sin and despair. And sin leads to death. But it's the light that brings hope. We're told to walk in the light. But we're afraid of the light. John 3:20 says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. Friend, would you come to the light? The light will expose your works. And that's the problem, isn't it? The works of man is sinful. There is no light in them. There's only darkness in them. Plato said these words, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. Don't be afraid of the light. Come into the light. God wants you to come into the light. And that's what Christmas is all about. He invites us to come into the light. His light. Matthew quoted this passage in Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, and he said that this very passage was to fulfill in Matthew chapter 4, to fulfill what the prophet said. He says in verse 14 in chapter 4 of Matthew, so this is what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And he quotes Isaiah chapter 9 about Galilee. The people were walking in darkness in Isaiah. When Matthew quotes it in chapter 4, verse 16, he says the people are dwelling in darkness. They've went from walking in darkness to sitting in darkness. Where should we go if we're walking in darkness? If you're dwelling in darkness, walk into the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone. Chapter 1 of John, verse 9, it says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus is the great light. He is the great light that has dawned. John 8, verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we walk in this light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's what the Bible says in 1 John 1:7. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Without that light, there is no life. Without that light, there is no hope. One thing we know about light overcomes darkness. Walk in the light. Jesus promises for those who walk in the light, they will be given life. Life. Life eternal. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it says, and this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So let's go back to our question about absence or abundance. God wants us to walk in abundance. God wants us to know that Jesus is coming again. In chapter 9, he says this in verse 3, you have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The war is over. There's no need. See, we can't accomplish it on our own. In verse 5, he says, for every boot of the trampling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as for fuel for the fire. What he's saying is that this is something that they used to do to promote peace, that peace was there. They would gather up on the field of battle the offering, and they'd make an offering to God, supposedly to be the giver of victory. It was a custom that provided some heathen nations. And they think that's what this is referencing, that there's a peace that's going to be brought, that his governing will be ever, forever, his increasing, it will be increasing, ever increasing. Peace for his kingdom will be established, and the justice and righteousness will reign forever. It says there in verse 7, there will be no end to it. It will be forevermore. God wants us to walk in abundance. What does walking in abundance mean? Well, Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy, and that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly, to bring the light where there is darkness, to bring life where there is death. So back to our question. What is your mindset this morning? Where are you at this morning? Are you walking in darkness? Have you only just seen the great light? Do you have life? Do you have the abundant life that Jesus wants you to have? The life that is eternal, the light that brings life. God wants you to have that abundant life, that you can operate out of an eternal perspective, that you can plan and act on your life based on what God promises, that you can have a faith-filled life. In him is life. The war is over. There's no need to fight anymore. Just surrender yourself. Just surrender to Jesus Christ. Operate out of what God can do for you that you can't do for yourself. Don't rely on your own strength. Look to Christ. Look to the abundant one who wants to give overflowing, richly, forevermore to you, eternal life. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you now, about to prepare ourselves to come to this table, may we rest in the victory of Jesus. That's what this table represents, the abundance of Jesus, the everlasting love of Christ, which has been poured out so that millions can keep coming. That there will be a peace that's forevermore. Friend, if you're walking in darkness right now, there's been a great light. It's been given by God, and that God wants you to come into the light. If you're walking in darkness right now, if you're not walking in the light because of darkness, friend, God wants you to come to Him, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It is in the light that you must take refuge, to put on the armor of light and walk in the light and life of Jesus abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.